May be seated. The sermon this morning comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. That's Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 9. Hear the word of God. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality. Pray with me. God, help us now as we look at your truth. Help us now and be glorified. Help us to look at our own lives and our own hearts and help us to look at your will. May we throw aside everything that is not in accordance with your heart and have us to put on the heart of Christ Jesus, that you will be glorified. It is in His name that we pray. Amen. One of the questions that are quickly thrown out in seminary is, what if Adam never sinned? We looked at that question, and I remember a man asking it in class, and the professor just looked at him and shook his head. He said, you can ask what if questions all day long. We could sit and we could speculate and speculate and speculate. And what we will be neglecting then is specifically what God has given us and what God is telling us to do when we wrestle and we play with what if questions. Well, as we look at Scripture here and we are given this picture of what God is calling us to and what He is telling us to do in our lives, we see the picture of life being reestablished on earth as after death has spread to all men. So we can ask the question, what would it look like if Adam and Eve hadn't given themselves to Satan? If mankind hadn't been given to death and to suffering and to pain and to all of the ugly, as we see what the kingdom is to look at now, look like now. In this world, we would see love without hypocrisy. The hypocrisy that we see in this life, one of the most painful pictures that we see, for example, is adultery. We look and we saw a man and a woman stand before the preacher, the woman looking beautiful to be this picture of Christ. We have the man stand, or the woman to be the picture of the church and the man to be this picture of Christ standing here. And we look and we marvel and we say how wonderful it is and how beautiful it is. The best moments or maybe the most beautiful or perfect moments in some people's lives. But then we see the hypocrisy when what one has sworn before God and sworn before the congregation is thrown out, and we look and see the pain in the bride or the pain in the groom, and our hearts ache for them. We see the tragedy in the children's lives as families are ripped apart. Love without hypocrisy is what would have been. We look and love without hypocrisy, and we would see people hating evil. And that's not this ugly picture that we might imagine, but it's a people loving what is good and perfect and putting off the things that are contrary to God's will. We would see people clinging to what builds up, what is helpful, what is beautiful, what saves and what rescues, what is good and what heals and lifts people up in a moment. We would see people devoted to one another in brotherly love. We would see people giving preference to one another in honor. We would not see people lagging behind in diligence, but we would see a world of people fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We would see people rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, and practicing hospitality. How does that picture sound without the fall? It sounds wonderful, and it is wonderful. It sounds beautiful, and it is beautiful. It sounds perfect, and it is perfect. And yet, a fall has taken place, and instead of people loving what is good, we see a nation and a world loving what destroys. We look at our own hearts, and in each of our crimes, we see ourselves, instead of loving what is good, we see ourselves loving what destroys every time we commit a crime. Instead of ourselves looking and lifting other people up, we see ourselves striving to climb and to be the preeminent one in the room or in any situation where a crime is brought to us. But here we see the command and the direction as we have been informed throughout the book of Romans. You have been saved. God is bringing about something beautiful. He's saying, stop being who you were. Stop being children of the fall. And now be children of the resurrection. You who were once dead, now you are life. Be life. You who were once children of Satan, and now you are children of God. Put off your hypocrisy. And live this life of love. One of the key pictures now, we're coming to our first step. One of our key pictures is to see the value and the worth in one another. And our first step is be committed to each other's honor above your own. Romans 12:10. It is, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. This idea of preference or this idea of honor, the word is value, if we break it down, or something for an honorable use. This idea, yesterday I was driving in downtown Beaver Falls, and one of my pet peeves is people walking in front of me when I'm in a car and I'm driving. Well, yesterday this started to come about. I'm at a red light, a bus stops, and this little old lady gets out, and she starts to go, and I know she's not going to make it. I'm going to get the light, and I would have the right-of-way, if you were allowed to run over little old ladies, I would have the right-of-way. And I'm watching her, and she starts to go, and I think, it's okay. She's a little old lady. I can let the little old lady go. So I'm waiting. I start to drift forward just a little bit so the world knows I have dominion in this intersection now. And this other guy gets out, and he looks at me, and he looks at her, and he just starts walking in front of me. Boy, the rage that filled up in me in that moment that this guy is claiming dominion over my intersection. In this moment, when I have this great big van, and here he goes. And the rest of them looked and thought, guess I'll go too. And they all did. Here we're told that despite what we believe our rights are, we are to give preference to others. Even though the intersection is ours, even though we have the big van, or whatever you see yourself as, whatever rights you imagine yourself to have, or even what rights you can dig through Scripture and say, oh yeah, but you're supposed to honor me in this section here. We are in the place where we are to be like Christ, following His example. And remember, King of Glory comes to earth, sits around with the disciples. All of the disciples were too good to wash the other guy's feet. King of Glory takes off his shirt, puts on the towel, gets the bowl and the washcloth, and kneels down at each one of these guys' feet and washes them, including Judas. King of Glory giving preference to the rebels, and I'll put that in the plural, to the rebels, that's mankind. King of glory giving preference to his own creation that would spit in his face and has spit in his face is what he has done for you. So all of a sudden then, this applies to each one of us when he says, as I have done for you, you do for one another. So as the world is being recreated now, as it's being turned upside down, actually right side up, this is what we do. We are devoted to one another. We are giving preference to one another in honor. Now, how can we do this? Well, back in Romans 8, 38 and 39, here's a bit of how you can do this. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, you're not giving up your place in the line that really matters. You're not giving up your position and your relationship with God. If you're standing in line at the up in the fellowship meal, and you're looking at that one plate that you really want to get to, and there's only a little bit left, do you let someone go in front of you or not? Are you going to lose out? Are you going to miss out on this food? You might. But here we're seeing what you have been given in Christ Jesus is the all in all, and you won't lose that. You can stop at the intersection and let the little old lady go. You can even let the bum go. You can let them all go. You don't lose the relationship that matters most. In fact, you're growing in the relationship that matters most. This is true, children that still live with your parents. This is true in your house. This is true with your siblings. Give preference to them. This is true in our marriages. Give preference in our marriages. This is true in our church. Give preference to one another. Being devoted and honoring others above yourselves. Our father Abraham himself, who was called the heir of all things, heir with an H, of all things, when he was confronted with his nephew Lot, in Genesis 13:9, he says, is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right. If to the right, then I will go to the left. How could he do that? How could he give up what appeared to be the best? Because God already said, yours. Yours. Your honor, your dignity in Christ Jesus is in Christ Jesus. It's not lost as you give preference to one another. Be committed to each other's honor above your own. This brings us to our next step. Seek actual affection for all Christians. Seek actual affection for all Christians. Romans 12:20. Be devoted to one another in brotherly affection. This is really difficult. We say, I might love you, but I don't like you. Here we see the idea, this brotherly love, this brotherly affection is something that we would hope and we would want to be something that we actually feel towards one another. If we look back at Judges and what was going on there, the Israelites there, they looked and Benjamin had been bad, really bad. Dark and as evil as it goes. They go and they lash out at Benjamin. They put him in a place where he's going to be destroyed. But then after that, they don't just sit and say, ha ha, Benjamin, he deserved it. Their hearts go out and they see Benjamin as their brother and they want to heal the injury done, even though Benjamin deserved it. As God looks on us and as God looks on me and you, what does He do except in grace look on us and want to heal the injury that's been done to us, even though we deserve it? We see the person of Christ, we see the work of Christ as Him caring for us and wanting us to be healed. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We see in Mark 10:20-21, and He said to him, Teacher, I have kept all these commandments from my youth up. Looking at Him, Jesus felt a love for Him. We see the work of love. We see the work of commitment. And we need to do whatever we need to do to actually have affection for each other. I've talked to a man recently in his sons are at odds. One hates the other one. And my friend is so grieved over these circumstances. As he looks at one son hating the other one. Maybe some of you have experienced that at some point. My wife, she gets grieved if the kids are just miffed at each other. But in our lives, we find ourselves, if we can muster, saying, I love you, but really not liking them. We need a deeper affection, a love without hypocrisy. And a bit of the way that this will play out, and a bit of the way that we can cultivate this, is remembering how much Christ has loved the person that we don't like. How committed He has been to them. The value that He has placed on them, that while they were still sinners, He gave His Son to die for them. Now this idea of honor that we're looking at, giving preference to one another and honor, that word honor is value. We see the person as valuable. And I've told you the story before. How much is something worth? With me, when I decided it was time to sell most of my comic book convention off, my comic book collection off, I had 2,000 comic books. I spent probably $2 each for them, more for others. So I'm thinking that, you know, I've got thousands here and I can sell these and I can get this money. When I tried to sell them, I discovered they're only worth what somebody's willing to pay. That's all they're worth. The worth of the person that you can't stand is the lifeblood of God Himself. The person that you don't like. The person that you don't want to be near. Their worth God has assigned is the life of His Son. So this puts us in a position then, and this is our third step. Labor diligently for the Lord. Labor diligently for the Lord. Look with me at verse 11. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. This idea of fervency. This can be translated to boil or to seethe. So we understand it as a burning zeal. Even a spiritual glow that is in you for other people. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit. It's where we get the word zeal or zealot. We are to be zealous. zealous for each other's eternal good. And as we look at this, we might think, I don't have the energy to be zealous for the people that I don't like. But what is it that causes us not to like someone? Is it the way they treat you? Is it the way they have treated your spouse, or the ways that they've treated your children? Well, if we look at our relationship with Christ, how have we treated Christ? If we look at our relationship with His spouse, that is the church, how have we treated His church? And how has He loved you? You see, we are at the place where we are called to be just like Christ. We see Christ's zeal. We see His earnestness in His preaching, in His life. The man didn't have a place to lay his head. The man didn't pursue a spouse. His whole life was him growing up as a tender shoot before the church, living that perfect life, and then going and having compassion on the weak, the lowly, seeing them as wandering and tormented like sheep without a shepherd. And his life was teaching them what is right and good. In the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs 6:6-9, we see a statement to the sluggard. That is the lazy one. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise. The ants which have no chief, officer, or ruler. The ant prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? In Proverbs 26:16, the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can give a discreet answer. We look at this, the sluggard, and we may look at ourselves and say, no, not me. I go to work. I'm not laying around and sleeping all day. But without a fervent zeal for one another, we would be spiritual sluggards. We are the ones that the Scripture would rebuke here. We are the ones who are wiser in our own eyes. We are the ones laying around. So how then do we become diligent to not be these spiritual sluggards that are not committed to each other's eternal good, that are not these ones who are not fervent but lay around and just go with the flow or just warm a pew to get fed and think we have done our spiritual good? We must be trained for the battle. We must be training for the work. We must be having our hearts strengthened and encouraged by a solid diet of the Word. Being nurtured and encouraged. Being made strong. That we will be equipped for every good thing. It's as if we are spiritually anemic. Because we don't have the food that we need. The nutrients that we need from the Word to make us strong. The other way then is we labor with one another. We take counsel from one another. We get strong. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We allow ourselves or put ourselves in a position to be sharpened and encouraged. To have the counsel that we need and apply it. And we take the counsel that we are given. The Word that we study. And we pray to have our thoughts and our hearts put in order. That we would be these people with the boiling spirits or the spiritual glow, fervent in love. And we see this as serving the Lord who has given His Son for us. Our next step is rejoice in hope. Rejoice in hope. Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope. Persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer. One of my favorite stories that I have read is Watership Down. And in this story, Watership Down, someone has compared it to the Lord of the Rings for rabbits. You've got these bunnies and these rabbits, and they live in a warren together. And all of a sudden, this one rabbit, he's made a prophet, and he has this premonition that their whole warren, their whole way of life is going to be destroyed. And he's given this vision of this hill far away with a tree on it. And it's described as a place that's high and clear where man almost never comes. And that's a selling point for them. Where there's no disease there. Where they can see and smell and know if there's any predator coming. And so they take off and they're working their way across this countryside. And as these tribulations and as these trials are coming upon them, as predators are coming after them, as there's rivers and dogs and all this mess, they keep thinking of the down. They're going to this down. They're going to this hill that's far away, that will be their country, their land, and their safety. For you and me, we have something much better than just a hill far away. We have glory itself that we are working towards. The world has fallen. Mankind has fallen. There is sin and there is death and there is ugly and there's people around us that we love and are being destroyed. But we are given something beautiful where you and I can rejoice in hope. That though this world is broken and though we are broken, God is healing it and He is fixing it. He is making you well. He is making the world well. And how does He do that? He does that by His Spirit and He does that in you. As you love without hypocrisy. As you abhor what is evil. As you cling to what is good. As you be devoted to one another in brotherly love. As you give preference to one another in honor. As you do not lag behind in diligence, as you are fervent in spirit, as you are serving the Lord, as you are rejoicing in hope, as you are persevering in tribulation, as you are devoted to prayer, as you contribute to the needs of the saints, as you practice hospitality, God is fixing this world, and He will do so in your dominion as you keep your dominion. You will see what is beautiful. You will see what is good. You will see what is holy being brought about. This is His work. This is what we are looking forward to. This is our hope. And this is what we labor for. And this is what we labor in. This confidence that God will bring these things about. So now as you look at yourselves, and as each of us have to wrestle with and see the reality everywhere where we don't keep these commands, we are living in hypocrisy. We are not living as the sons and the daughters of God, but we are living as continuing to live as the children of Satan. So throw off your hypocrisy. Peel it off and throw it away. And continue to put on the new life, which is this true love in Christ Jesus. Pray with me. Lord, thank You that You speak to us by Your word, and we can know what is good and holy and beautiful and perfect. Thank You for giving us Your Spirit that we can pursue You and follow You and know You. That at least in our own dominions, in our own hearts, we can have hope and we can see fallenness raised up and healed. We can see ourselves in Your truth. And Father, as we put these dominions in order in our hearts, God, help us where the other tensions come. In our homes. In our churches. With our neighbors and our communities and in the world. God, and give us true hope that you will accomplish what you have said concerning us. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next psalm is Psalm 50.